22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture and Tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me what's ailing me, doctor? He said,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Magical engineer Frank's ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, the global IQ and what may be going on with that. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Hitting the knees, seeking Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in 2 Corinthians 6. And if you want to know how we're going to get through this world, here it is. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Absolutely. If you don't have God, you don't have righteousness, you don't have the armor of God, you don't have the faith believing, you're going to have a hard time. So seek the Lord's face and mind the time, because it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. First up in the quacker, let's see, according to some data, U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, more than 1 million working-age women have become disabled since the COVID vaccine was in use. This is since February 2021. Both men and women between the ages of 16 and 64 have been reporting more disabilities at an ever-increasing rate. Women have been hit the worst, apparently, according to November 2023. The number of women reporting disabilities rose by an unprecedented 55%. So let's see, from 2.1 million to 3.2 million women are disabled. It's an unprecedented rise in disability, and it's shocked the insurance industry. Also, U.S. Labor Bureau and Labor Statistics reported in November 2023, about 299,000 more non-working Americans reported being disabled that are over the age of 16. The numbers. And let's see, last but not least in the Quack Report, Florida's top doctor says he wants people to stop giving the COVID injections. This is Dr. Joseph Lapato, Florida's Surgeon General. He said doctors need to rethink giving the COVID virus vaccine, the mRNA. He said that he looked into it and the vaccine, the nucleic acid has contaminants present, and the vaccine from Pfizer and Moderna could deliver what he calls contaminated DNA into human cells. In particular, he kind of targeted the lipid nanoparticle LNP. It's a complex with the Cimmerian virus 40 or SV40 promoter, which he says has been linked to cancer, and cancer rates are on the rise too. Yeah. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, so here we are. We're going to be talking about the global IQ. You know, when I was researching this topic, how the intelligent quotient, that's what IQ means, how is it today compared to, like, a previous generations? So I found a mixed bag of scientific reports on it. I concluded that a majority of the reports were kind of fluff science pieces, and they're not real accurate. But a few remaining reports had supporting data showing man's IQ globally has not made the gains or remained steady, but has decreased. So some would argue, how is that possible with, you know, modern technology, including artificial intelligence? Well, intellect and intelligence are very different. Intellect is removed from emotion, and knowledge means nothing without truth. So without it, there's really no real understanding. So what could be influencing the intelligence of humans then? Well, some of the reports allege these things like environmental changes, lead gasoline from cars, and also mercury in tuna fish. So while some of these elements may contribute, the undeveloped regions of the world are also showing lower IQs. So we're going to try to find out what the research is saying about man's modern-day IQ. Well, heavy metals came into the report, especially in children. The likelihood that too many metals in the body can be accumulating, and it can make one of the strongest arguments, though, for lower IQ. Here's a report from the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives. This was also a Mount Sinai study, and they said this. The research found that IQ losses linked to mercury ranged from 1/5 of an IQ point to as much as 24 points. About 4% of babies, or about 180,000 of them, are born each year with blood mercury levels between 7.13 and 15 micrograms per liter. End of quote. Let's see, they go on to say the lower IQ levels linked to mercury exposure in the womb cost the United States $8.7 billion a year in lost earning potential. Also, let's see, they include, we can find the number of previous studies to determine hundreds of thousands of babies are born every year with lower IQ associated with mercury exposure. So they were looking at VAC studies as well. And what did you say, Frank? You said what one stops using atrocity? We let machines do most of the thinking, like just the calculator, no more math. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that, Frank. You're getting a little ahead of me. But let's look at this term. Remember the term dumbing down? Well, it's been published, and it tends to describe Americans, especially students in public schools. But one may ask why science, you know, radically changed the medical practice in the 1960s from absolutely no vaccines for pregnant women to the definitely, we must vaccinate women who are pregnant. That was such a big change. So the research, you know, I've been reading shows that the metals in vaccines affect the baby. And scientific research is showing children have their intelligence reduced with each of these treatments. So as I've been reporting, vaccines, they're going to mess you up on your weakest genetic area, and therefore not everyone will have the same outcome. Here is scientist Peter McCaffrey. He's with the University of Massachusetts Medical School. He said some people are not going to be affected by mercury, and some people are, just based on their genetic disposition. So according to the Environmental Protection Agency, they estimate that about 8% of the American women of childbearing age have enough mercury in their blood to put a fetus at risk. Well, this is what Leonardo Trasnay, he's a medical pediatrician, Mount Sinai Center for Children's Health, he says this: we estimated that between 316,588 and 337,233 U.S. children are born each year with umbilical cord blood mercury levels linked to IQ loss. Blood mercury levels between 7.13 to 15 micrograms per liter causes IQ loss of 1.6 points. Now, in 2019, there was a study done at Huaxin, China, and they found that even low-impact levels of mercury from eating rice with, will lower your IQ 9 points in children, costing that nation about $69.8 million a year in lost earning potential. All right, so let's read this other intriguing quote. This is from Jim Jacobs, Ph.D., Mike Marlowe, Ph.D., Michael Brunson, Ph.D. This is a research panel. This was at the, well, it was a publication, and the publication topic was Low Mercury Levels and Childhood Intelligence. It's published in 1986, and they said, the decreased IQ and subtest scores may be functional evidence of low-level mercury-induced neurological damage. And it's also important, they said, to reiterate that the main mercury level of the subjects fell well within the normal acceptable range for exposure toxicity. So they were going by what the FDA was saying, or the EPA. Now, this, they said the subtle subclinical effects of mercury on children are not completely understood. The developing central nervous system is especially vulnerable to mercury toxicity, and future studies should examine the specifications of mercury exposure in the young in order to determine adverse development effects. Now, there was this other report, the Pew Review Charitable Trust. This is March 2005, and it was titled Mercury and the Developing Brain. It said children are most vulnerable to mercury exposure, whether exposed in utero or as young children. Mercury affects the developing brain, causing neurological problems that manifest themselves as vision and hearing difficulties, delays in the development of motor skills and language acquisition, as well as in later in life, lower IQ points, problems with memory and attention deficits. These developmental defects may translate to a wide range of learning difficulties once children are in school. Well, the scientific argument is this. Science states that the environmental mercury, methyl mercury, and mercury found in your vaccines, such as in your influenza shots called erythromercury or thermosol, are not the same. And we're told that the ethyl mercury in vaccines has been processed or broken down to allow the human body to excrete it more rapidly, making it less likely to accumulate in the body causing harm. Notice the word less likely. Now, most of that type of research, though, on thermosol was published by the pharmaceutical companies invested in the vaccine manufacturing. So what is the real research telling us about the effects of injecting many doses of vaccine containing mercury into pregnant women, babies, and children? Does the body eliminate it quickly, causing no ill effects? Well, here is a journal article in 2004, also another one in 2018. These journal articles were of trace elements in medicine and biology and toxicology letters, and they said this: the total mercury in the blood, in kidney, and brain, when compared to those obtaining it from an intramuscular injection, the levels were checked after 24 hours and then post 7 days. The mercury concentrations at 7 days post-dosing were significantly decreased in the blood, while concentrations within the brain and kidneys remain relatively constant. Therefore, the ethyl mercury products have various deleterious effects on organs and systems, they said. So the drug companies lied to doctors, pediatricians, you and me. So the mercury in vaccines is very toxic to humans, no matter how low the level the dose may be. And there are a number of studies that state it is also a contributing factor for autism. I came across these studies on autism, Frank, and I was just like, boy, this stuff's been buried. Totally buried, because, you know, they keep saying there's no link between mercury, heavy metals, and vaccines and autism. Oh, yes, there is. This is a research report from 2016. It was in the Journal of Trace Elements of Medicine and Biology. And it says this: mercury causes autoimmune activation, oxidative stress, neuroinflammatory actions, neurological damage, and loss of neurological connectivity. So these are direct effects from mercury exposure. In addition, autism symptom severity correlates with neurological damage and neurological loss of connectivity. In addition, autism symptom severity also correlates with mercury levels, which in turn correlate with autoimmune activation, oxidative stress, and neuroinflammatory biomarkers. So what was really interesting about that report was they had pictures of neurons and dendrites, part of your brain, how you're wired. And when you get mercury in a vaccine and it travels to the brain, that's where it usually goes, it shrinks the dendrites, your neurological system in your brain. It cuts it in half, so it's not as active and not as proficient, and and it damages the brain and damages a person. Now, science is really not done poisoning people, though, and they also add aluminum in your vaccines called adjuvants. So the largest aluminum manufacturer in the world is based in China. In the scientific community, there does not seem to be much concern about heavy metals being injected into people around the world. Here's a quote from, it's a literature on aluminum adjuvants. They say it's very suspicious, July 2023. It was written by a biostatistician who said, the science on this topic is surprisingly negligent. He said, aluminum is a known neurotoxin and is disastrous in small concentrations in the brain. So the obvious follow-up question is the amount accumulated from childhood vaccines so small as to be irrelevant? But unfortunately, aluminum has not undergone any rigorous safety testing for cumulative cognitive effects. The fact is, I could not find a convincing answer in this multi-decade policy failure. So he's saying they haven't tested for it, just like they never test for cancer or any of these other things they don't want to know. See? So aluminum also wrecks the brain. Various symptoms occur: decreased in visual memory, lower vocabulary scores. It's called premorbid intelligence, by the way. There's a decline in attention, so you got these problems with attention deficit disorders now. Frontal lobe malfunction and other neurodegenerative measures is what happens when you take aluminum intramuscularly into the blood system and it goes to your brain. Now, medical science tells us to watch out for heavy metals in your environment. You know, don't eat too much fish and watch the pollution out there. When the fact is, the fact is that people are intentionally being polluted with heavy metals. It's neurotoxic substances is what they're shooting into people. These substances are in your vaccines and they're promoted as a protective treatment against disease. But these neurotoxins are also, you know, cited to cause dyslexia as well as various other neurological conditions, Tourette's syndrome, and some others. So the National Library of Medicine, Center for Biotechnology, December 2019 said this: over the past three decades, a number of studies have suggested a pathological role of inorganic mercury as being one of the causes of Alzheimer's disease. This is underlined by the fact that mercury is 10 times more toxic to your neurons in your brain compared to lead, another neurotoxin. 10 times more toxic than lead. Right? And how many elderly get flu shots? How many elderly get, you know, the shots for shingles? And God knows what else. Norway University, June 2018, said this: Norwegian researchers analyzed the IQ scores of Norwegian men born between 1962 and 1991 and found that scores increased by almost 3% points each decade for those born between 62 and 75, but then saw a steady decline among those born after 1975. So the U.S. vaccine was mandated. These were rolled out around 1960. And it is, this is when your IQ started to change. So with each successive year, more vaccines were added and developed to the vaccine schedule with more additives, more mercury, more aluminum. So there is also literature from physicians who stated they really didn't see a lot of neurological issues prior to the 1990s in children until drug companies combined viruses into one shot, your MMR, your measles, mumps, and rubella, and your DPT, which is your diphtheria and tetanus shot. So it just shows you that the level of toxic neurological assault that's happening on the human body. When college graduates can't do math in their head and make change in their head or write their own research report or memorize multiplication tables, there's an excellent chance the heavy metals are contributing to these lower IQ and these problems. So, yeah, I stumbled across stuff I never thought I'd see, Frank. So there are always ways that we can help our body eliminate toxins, such as your pharmaceutical residues and your heavy metals, radioactive particles, because normally the body attempts to eliminate these residues through your elimination channels, but a majority can remain in your colon tissue. That's why bowel cleansing that's designed to draw out these impurities are very beneficial. So a lot of people think bowel cleansing is just to make you more regular. Well, it does help with transit time, but a true bowel cleanse is going to pull out all these impurities you don't want to hold on to. So if you're interested in detoxing the heavy metals and things, you definitely want to do a really good quality bowel cleanse. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Ask about their bowel cleanse kit. Information about this item is on their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or you can simply give them a call at 866-229-2222. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You want to also check out some of their other organ cleanses they have there. They have a prostate kit. They got kidney bladder cleanse kits. They got several cleanses you might want to learn how to use to purify your system and sidestep a lot of issues. They also have immune boosters and metabolic strengthening formulas there. They do have a new product catalog. Now, the picture for the new catalog is not up on the website yet, but it will be soon. So even if you do order the catalog that's currently on the website, you will get the new one, so you don't have to worry about not getting the new one. So the new one is available, and we are. If you ordered one already and you haven't received it yet, they are going out. You should allow up to 10 days for delivery through first-class mail. If you don't receive it, I would say by the third or fourth week of January, do give us a call, and we may have to send out a duplicate. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. And if you like information like this, do sign up for their newsletters, which are absolutely free, and they go out each week, but you have to have email to receive them. You go to the powerherbs.com website, click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up there. The American Survival goes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. And you will be empowered. Health information you're not going to get anywhere else. And it's absolutely free. You can share it with family and friends. You know, it's all about, you know, taking the power back. You know, feeling empowered, not feeling so distraught and hopeless. And you have power. God's made sure you had that because he says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So definitely tap into that promise because that's exactly what it is, a promise. Well, I can see by the clock we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Back here in Herb Talk. Thank you, Frank. Awesome stuff. We are going to be talking about some blood vessel dilators. Yeah, I know. Doesn't it rock your world, Frank? Well, it will. Medical science prescribes vasodilator drugs to patients who, you know, they're told that they need a chemical type of drug to help widen their blood vessels and increase blood flow and improve their blood pressure. So patients with high blood pressure may really not know that such medications tend to affect their adrenal glands. So the vasodilator drugs are often prescribed with other heart medications, and there are many types of vasodilators. There's nitroglycerin, minoxidil, also called Rogaine. Did you know it was a vasodilator, Frank? And then they just called it Rogaine and sold it as, you know, a hair improvement drug. Yeah, they do that. Well, patients may not, you know, discern between high blood pressure medicines like calcium channel blockers or diuretics and vasodilators, but all these work to try to address a hypertension issue, but they all work differently. Also important is that people trying to reverse their hair loss are using products under various names containing minoxidil. And they are absorbing a vasodilator drug through the skin. Transdermal drug treatment is what that is. And I have often wondered, you know, what these hair loss medications that can accumulate in this system, what do they do to a healthy heart? You know, if you're taking it for hair loss, but you don't have hypertension. Well, there have been really no scientific studies to try to answer that question on minoxidil for hair loss and heart adrenal health, but we're going to take a look at these very powerful and also risky medications. Dr. William Pettinger, Journal of Hypertension, said this. He said, of the many vasodilator drugs, minoxidil is a much more potent vasodilator. It can cause hearing loss, renal retention of sodium or edema, and you need to be on a diuretic, and also can cause weight gain, he says, and it can also cause cardiac enlargement. Ouch. Well, there's this part of the human body that medicine refers to as the vasomotor center. So your adrenal glands are affected by vasodilators and affect the hormones and your central nervous system function, which would explain many of the side effects people tend to get. According to Dr. Pettinger, the vasodilator drugs work differently than other blood pressure medications and increase the risk of acute pulmonary edema, which is fluid around the heart and the lungs. Tachycardia, tachymarrhythmias, you know, heart flutters, abnormal heartbeats, myocardial infarction, which is, you know, heart attack. And he also urges a caution when you're using vasodilators. Well, some of the side effects, some people have a natural allergy to these drugs and they can't use them. So people who have allergies to foods, dyes, preservatives, and other substances may be prohibited from using vasodilator meds. So if you're taking vasodilator, if you're one of those patients, and you often experience a secondary disease called the side effect, well, you want to check the list on these drugs before you start them. Pregnant women usually run into problems taking vasodilators, causing blood abnormalities as well as uncontrollable hair growth. Now, in lab animals, vasodilators have caused birth defects, and there have been no scientific studies regarding pregnancy or breastfeeding with vasodilators, and the average patient taking these drugs can develop the following conditions: headache, nausea, bloating and vomiting, diarrhea, loss of appetite, dizziness, angina or chest pain or irregular heartbeat, muscle and joint pain, muscle weakness, numbness, tingling of extremities, swollen extremities, fever, sore throat, general sick feeling, skin blisters, itching and a flushed skin, increase the risk of kidney disease or stroke or heart attack and heart damage. Adrenal tumors, drug does not interact well with other drugs or over-the-counter medicines. Also, it's very rare, but you can get systemic lupus from these drugs. Well, doesn't that paint a great picture of the risk you're taking? Also, since vasodilators do not mix well with other types of meds, patients need to exercise extreme caution taking additional meds or over-the-counter medications. For instance, your over-the-counter meds for, let's say, appetite control or cold and flu medications or asthma medications, your allergy products that are sold either by prescription or over-the-counter could be a problem. Some of these products will increase or decrease your blood pressure, and it's really not hard to see why so many people end up in the emergency room or the morgue taking prescribed medicines such as vasodilators. Well, let me read you this quote. This is Dr. Penninger again. He says, "Vasodilating antihypertension drugs produce an array of side effects, allergic reactions, toxicity in varying degrees, and they have the potential of creating congestive heart failure among other serious conditions. Detailed knowledge of these drugs is a prerequisite in order to prescribe them for patient use." So doctors better know what they're doing. All right, and more importantly, be a backup for your doctor. You should know what you're doing. Investigate your meds very carefully. Well, let's look at this hair loss drug again and the heart problem issue, because I did come across a blog where people were writing about experiences using minoxidil or Rogaine for hair loss, which is really a vasodilator medicine. And there were a few young people in the blog that said they thought using the vasodilator for hair loss created their heart problem. Here is one of the blog posts from person called Robbie, February 2006, who said, "When I was 18, I became paranoid about hair loss and I started using Rogaine. Now that I'm 25, I have very, very bad blood pressure problems. I find it strange that I used Rogaine, a powerful antihypertensive vasodilator drug, for 4 years, and now I have very bad blood pressure and heart rate problems." End of quote. Oh, yeah, strange. Well, the Mayo Clinic does also posts on their site for the use of caution for using topical types of things, including Rogaine, also known as minoxidil. And by the way, there are a lot of hair loss products on the market, and they'll call it everything but Rogaine, of course. But you'll also notice You want to check the ingredient list, and it always will say minoxidil or another name for minoxidil, so you always want to check that. So there are a post there on the Mayo Clinic about minoxidil, and they say if you have any skin problems or irritation like sunburn, they recommend you not use those type of products. They also warn that minoxidil is absorbed into the body and offers some side effects. They recommend that people with heart disease not use the product yet, because it's, you know, it's not prescribed for their heart problem. But they can get medication in pill form from their cardiologist. So the Mayo Clinic also stated that there have been no official scientific studies of the topical use of minoxidil like Rogaine to cause any serious high blood pressure problems yet. They do caution consumers not to use it in large quantities because of the likelihood of accumulated toxins that are absorbed into the system by this product. All right, so then there is also AskAPatient.com, and they listed a ton of people there who described their experiences using the topical minoxidil Rogaine product. And the formulation for men is a stronger. It's a 5% solution compared to the one for women. That's 2%. And the men experienced alterations to their sex drive. They said they got erectile dysfunction using it. And you got to remember, it messes up adrenal glands and your hormones, see? So the list of those who experienced cardio difficulties did emerge with people varying ages from 20 to 60. And they listed symptoms like dizziness, heart palpitations, high blood pressure, swelling and fluid retention, feeling anxious, cardiac arrhythmia, chest pains, and concentration problems. So I guess that answers the question. If you're using a minoxidil product and you have a healthy heart, guess what's going to happen? Yeah. You want a heart problem? You're going to get it. Here is one of the blog posts from a female age 50. She posted this in November 2015. She said, "No question it was the Rogaine that caused my heart symptoms and blood pressure problems. I applied it for hair loss, but I won't sacrifice my health." So I guess she stopped using that. So Upjohn Dermatology Division had an article in, get this, the Field and Stream magazine, August 1995. It was their Midwest edition. They were discussing the pros and cons of using 2% Rogaine minoxidil. Apparently, there were people asking if the product for hair loss could cause harm, especially to the heart system. Here's one of the entries from the article. They said this, "In animal studies, minoxidil in large amounts applied as topical application on skin has caused important heart structure damage, and this kind of damage has not been seen in humans." End of quote. Huh. Well, I guess the animal studies proved it caused damage. So you may not know why science uses lab mice to test for drugs, but it's because they say the cell structure of mice is similar to humans. So if mice are taking minoxidil topically and they have birth defects or heart damage, well, then I guess you could ascertain that same thing could happen to humans. But there's some natural vasodilators out there. Hawthorn berries is one. It's been scientifically tested against the prescription vasodilators, and it worked just as well as the drugs, but without all the toxicity and side effects. Yeah. So if you're interested in learning about some of your herbal options, I would get a catalog from the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Yep, see what your herbal options are. Their number, if you want to request one, is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com is the web address. By the way, they have a cardio section up there on their website, too, and you can just click on that section to see all the formulas there that may be of assistance thepowerherbs.com. All right, we got a few minutes, and we can fit in another topic. So, let's see. We got a couple of them here. We're going to be talking about bionic humans. Ready? All right. Now, back in 2018, I did a little report on bionic body parts being developed within medical science. So if you have really no idea what bionics are, think of the $6 million man Lee Majors TV series of 1974. So body parts are now available in bionic form, which means they stimulate real body parts like arms and legs and eyes. And according to the Federation for American Societies for Experimental Biology, there's been symposiums on this. One was actually called the $6 billion man, and as part of the scientific program, what is the scientific definition of a bionic? Well, bionics, they say, merge biology with electronics, and it means replacing or enhancing structures, anatomical structures, or physiological processes with electronics or mechanical components. Yeah. So, if I want to translate that, bionics do not simply replace missing body parts like traditional prosthetics did. The bionic replacement is an implant. That is, it's supposed to function or mimic like the original missing body part with enhanced features such as speed and strength. So this requires an interface, basically, between the human body and the electronics in this bionic. Science has been, well, they're on this agenda. They're wanting to make more human organs in bionic form. They've been on this a while. Dr. William Gracius, he's at Rutgers University, says, "We have been working on creating the first multi-finger prosthetic that combines musculoskeletal signaling with advanced human-to-machine communication," end quote. So science is rapidly growing the sector of medical devices. They refer to the replacement body parts as being adopted by the recipient, okay? And medical science plans to use bionic devices for patients with strokes, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, neuromuscular disease disorders. So there's this shift in the development phase of with new surgeries and computerized devices. Yeah. I don't know how much AI is going to have in this, but can you imagine if AI hacks your bionic? So in 2004, at the University of California, there was some work by Dr. Kazmaruni. He caught the eye of investors, and he has developed wearable bionic systems that offers the wearer super strength. So, for instance, the device allows a male or female to carry 200 pounds as if it were 10 pounds. And the developmental exoskeleton product is called Blix. And we know that the technology, where it's going, so, you know, it helped build virtual soldiers and all kinds of things. So there's actually a facility that is working, called Virtual Soldier Research Lab. It's working with the U.S. military, the Department of the Army, TACOM, and they got tractor vehicles for the military there that they design bionics in and all kinds of equipment there. So the goal, though, in the industry is making bionic limbs to be able to connect to humans and to the human brain. So quadriplegics, for instance, and amputees will be able to, you know, use and control their artificial limbs as if it were natural. So bionics are also where the robotic industry is headed, and it may become impossible in the future to tell the difference between humans or superhumans. Yep. Frank, what was that movie by Arnold Schwarzenegger? Wasn't that a kind of like a bionic thing? I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, it had machines in it. I just remember that. I saw clips of it. I didn't sit and watch the whole thing. Terminator. Thank you, Frank. Yeah, that's it. All right, so, but they have bioethics issues, obviously, in this area. The bionic industry has gone ahead and is manufacturing a lot of bionic parts, and the bionic version of a human man, even with bionic internal organs, for instance. So science is reporting that it's been successful. It's been building a human man bionically, but they have issues with bioethics. Rich Walker, he's a director of Touch Bionics, says the question is how much of the human being can be replaced and still be considered a human? Well, the question science is really trying to figure out is, will the implanted technology interfere with how the person relates to other people? And I'm sure, you know, the industry will evolve and there's going to be some questions like this. But here's some other questions I have. Does a bionic man or robot have human rights? Can a bionic man or robot become president? And can a bionic man that is half human marry a robot? So this whole subject can get a bit ridiculous. And all for amputees and the paralyzed people walking and returning to more function. I'm all for that, but I think there's a cutoff that when the technology offers superhuman capabilities, such as maybe faster thinking brains or speed, you know, physical speed or bionic eyes that can see through walls, there's got to be a line somewhere here. There's got to be a cutoff. So the average person, if they knew someone had a bionic hand, may wonder if they wanted to shake it. Or not, you know? Would you, Frank, would you shake hands with a guy that said it was a bionic hand? I wouldn't. Yeah, Frank says, then there's also killer robots. Right. But would you seriously shake somebody's hand and if they told you that their prosthetic was bionic? I don't think I would trust it. Now, research at the University of Minnesota, they have some 3D... printed bionic eyeballs. Yeah, they've been making those on the 3D and 4D printer machines. Also, they report that ancient Egyptians were the first to make prosthetics around 3,000 years ago. They found a mummy who had a fake toe made out of wood, and it was attached with a leather strap around their foot. And the more functional prosthetics were made by the 16th century, they said. What'd you say, Frank? Frank said he would shake the guy's bionic hand, but he said it may be a little odd. Well, the biggest challenge, though, with all this artificial technology attached to human bodies is getting around the built-in defenses of the immune system. So the immune system sees bionics as a foreign object, and inflammation starts to occur. So the artificial pancreas that they've made has bugs in it. Can't seem to get it to work. Testing it on animals, there was severe immune system reactions and adhesions, creating scar tissue and rejection and all kinds of nonsense. So the bionics have bugs to work out. And so what would be the cost of being superhuman? You want to take a guess, Frank? You want to be a $6 million man, Frank? Well, the bionics do cost a lot. The market for them can be limited, but bionic a bionic robotic upper limb. And by the way, your private insurance may pay 50%. The price range is from $20,000 to $120,000. So I wonder what the $120,000 limb has that the $20,000 one doesn't have. Now, some insurance companies are looking at long-term care of amputees, and they find that bionic devices decrease costs due to less heart disease, arthritis, obesity, joint pain. People are getting around better, they think. So, therefore, some are also covering 80% of the cost on some of these things. Research continues, and the costs will come down eventually on all these crazy parts, but probably in the next 10 or 11 years, you're going to see some enthusiastic ads out there for bionics. Going once, going twice. Step right up and get your implant. So if you can imagine it, they're going to make it. Yeah. So questions would be, could bionics be crafted to offer an unfair advantage instead of just bridging the gap for a lost function? Could bionics lend themselves to become a superhero obsession for some people? I can see that. Could a black market or unauthorized bionics develop offering more than the standard human capability? And can the bionics be hacked and someone could control another person's movements? Well, we live in interesting times. So, time will tell, right? Time will tell. And just stay close to the Lord. He's your saving grace. He's also going to be your shield and buckler in times of craziness. So if you don't know the Lord, do get that Bible out. Start praying. Because there's one thing the enemy and a Christian both underestimate, and that's the power of prayer. Let's not do that. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get a call, give them a call and get a catalog, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.